Monday arrived, and if it wasn't enough that I had to climb the Vincent Massif every single day, the humidity of the rainy season was finally beginning to make itself known. Everybody was sweating buckets, and I was already in dire need of about 3 showers by the time I got to school. If only they'd given us a shower period instead of useless homeroom. And if some politician had promised to install an escalator on the hill to school, they'd certainly have my vote when I came of age. I was sitting in the classroom using a pencil board as a makeshift fan when the bell rang. Haruki, uncharacteristically, was the last one to enter.
Hey, fan me too!
Fan yourself. Monday mornings are not the best time to demand things of me, Haruki! Especially not when it's this hot! Haruki, who I had last seen in front of the station 2 days ago, twisted his face into a sour look, scowling. I thought he'd be getting slightly more pleasant over the last few days, but I guess he reverted back to his usual angry self. Hey, Suzumiya. Have you ever heard the story of the Bluebird of Happiness?
What's that?
No, never mind. It's nothing.
Then why'd you bother opening your mouth?
As Haruki gave me a sideways scowl, Okabe-sensei arrived and our pointless homeroom session began. I guess it's safe to say I'll never know the answer. Why is it that you had to pick me out of everyone else that's here? Why is it that I seem to have been picked out of all of the unlikely things you believe? That the world is here just for you to explore. You're not right. Why is it that my heart now fills up with all of the strength? Is it you? It's an adventure, right? That's what you seem to think. Can it be a normal day? You seem to think that you are finally getting somewhere better even being around me. Please won't you just let go of me? Without me, you'll fly away instantly. I'll only be weighing you down. Is it just me or does everyone know and think that you are that crazy? Please believe me. Please believe me. I believe you. That day, an aura of resentment and barely repressed rage radiated out across the classroom from Haruki's downer mood, leaving me with an uncomfortable pressure against my back. The tiny chime that signaled the end of the day had never, ever been so welcome before. Like a field mouse fleeing from a raging bushfire, I too evacuated to the club room. I'd become so used to seeing Nagato read in the corner that he'd become a part of the scenery, an ornament, like a potted plant. Or something. Koizumi Itsuko had also just arrived, so it was the three of us in the club room that day. Haruki had cleaning duty, and Asahina-senpai apparently hadn't come yet. I suppose you have something to tell me about Suzumiya too, huh?
It seems you've already heard it from the others. Am I right?
Itsuko took a quick glance at Nagato, busy reading his book as usual. Her know-it-all tone was getting annoying.
Come on, let's find someplace else to talk. It would be better if Suzumiya-san didn't overhear us.
On the way to the cafeteria, Itsuko treated me to a cup of coffee. We sat down at one of the tables set up outside.
So, what do you know?
That Suzumiya isn't just an ordinary weirdo, I guess.
Well, that's certainly true, and I'm glad you understand. Otherwise, I'd have a lot more to explain.
Was this some kind of a joke? All of the other members of the SOS Brigade have managed to inform me in their own little ways that Haruki is not, in fact, human. Had global warming managed to fry their brains in bacon crisps or something? Fine, then. Tell me who you really are. Actually, let me guess. You're an Esper, right?
Well, it's probably not the kind you'd imagine, but you're more or less correct. I am what you call an Esper. I possess paranormal powers.
I drank my coffee in silence.
That's too sweet. She should have ordered less sugar.
I've been a bit troubled having to transfer schools so suddenly, but it seems the circumstances have changed. I would never have thought those two would have approached Suzuma Haruki so quickly. Previously, they have always preferred to observe silently, from a distance.
Ah, stop treating Haruki like some treasured endangered species!
Don't get so excited, please. I assure you we have no intentions of harming Suzumiya-san. Quite the opposite, actually. We want to protect him.
You said we. I suppose that means there are others out there that are like you. Itsuka smiled elegantly at me, as if pleased.
Well, only a few. I'm one of the lower-ranked members, but I know that there are about 10 of us in this world at this time, and we are all supervised by the organization.
Wonderful. Now we have an organization.
I don't have access to details like how large the organization is, or who exactly it's made up of. The higher-ups are the only ones who really know.
So, this organization, what does it do, anyway?
It's probably obvious by now, but the organization was founded 3 years ago, and the sole reason it exists is to observe, of course, Suzumiya Haruki. I'm sure you understand by now. I'm not the only member of the organization here in this school. We've had sleeper agents here for quite a while. I've merely been transferred here to assist them.
Taniguchi's face suddenly came to mind. She'd been in the same school as Haruki for 3 years. Could she be? No way!
However, I cannot guarantee that all of them are on Suzumiya-san's side. I still don't know the truth to what happened 3 years ago.
Why does everybody seem to like Haruki so much? He's just a crazy self-centered buffoon who loves creating trouble for other people. Is he really worth so much when an entire organization has to put all its resources into protecting him?
It was just... suddenly, I realized I had paranormal powers and ordinary abilities. I had no idea what to do. I thought I was going mad or crazy, that there was something wrong with my brain. But then, the organization found me and took me in. If they hadn't, well, I don't know what I would have done.
Did it ever occur to you that maybe something was wrong with your brain?
Well, yes. That is certainly a possibility, but you are much more afraid of the other possibilities, the unforeseen possibilities.
Itsuko gave me a pained look for a moment, but then she showed me a smile and what she might have thought looked playful.
So, when do you think this world began its existence?
Eh? Why is she asking me this all of a sudden? I guess... at the Big Bang?
Yes, that is what most people think. But to us, there is another possibility. That this world came into being 3 years ago.
Now wait a minute! That's completely impossible! I can still clearly remember what happened even further back than just 3 years ago. My parents are still alive, I still have those stitches I got when I was a kid, and how would you explain all this junk I've been memorizing from our history textbooks?
How can you be sure that all humans, including you, are not simply created with these earlier memories? If you accept that as possible, you don't even need to dwell on 3 years ago. It might as well be 5 minutes ago that the universe was born. Try to imagine a virtual reality. Everything that you see, smell, and touch in that virtual reality is nothing more than electrical impulses acting upon your neural sensors in your brain. But you believe that everything you experience is, well, real. Reality is fragile.
Was that a reference of some kind? Look... let's just say I agree with you. It doesn't matter whether the Earth was created 3 years ago or 5 minutes ago. What's this organization got to do with Haruki?
Our leader believes that the reality we know may be nothing more than a person's dream. We are such stuff as dreams are made of. No, perhaps that should more accurately be, this world is such stuff as dreams are made of. An insubstantial pageant, if you will. And for the dreamer to create and alter this dream, well, there is nothing easier. And we all know who this dreamer, who this person is.
Maybe it's just all these complex references she's throwing down, but Itsuko's face looks surprisingly mature right now.
Humans have always had a name for those who can destroy and remake the world at will. They call them God.
Haruki, you're already being worshipped as God. Just like you wanted.
And that is why the organization must be very careful. If God becomes displeased with this world, He may simply destroy this old world and replace it with a new one. Like a kid who doesn't like his sandcastle and destroys it before making another one. This world has its problems, I know, but it's not completely terrible. There are definitely some good things in it, and it's for this reason that I helped the organization to protect the world.
Look, why not simply go up and ask Haruki about all this? Tell him not to destroy the world. If it's this important, he might listen for once.
Suzumiya-san is unaware of his own powers, and part of our job is to make sure he remains so and lives out his life peacefully. He's a bit too immature to become a fully responsible god, but though he has not reached full potential yet, we have seen signs of his power. Think about it. Why would time travelers, aliens, and espers exist in the first place? Because Suzumiya-san wishes for it. We hypothesize that he is unable to completely utilize his powers at the moment. He's only able to release them subconsciously, almost randomly. For the past few months, Suzumiya-san has been continually releasing powers far beyond human comprehension. One side effect of these random power outbursts has resulted in Suzumiya-san having Asahina Mitsuru, Makoto Yuki, and myself join his club, without knowledge of who we are.
I thought back to that first day when Haruki wanted an alien, a time traveler, slider, or an esper to walk right up to him. Was that what brought them all out of hiding? His crazy quest to find a worthy bride? And if that was something he had seriously wished for, why were the alien and the time traveler guys? So, I guess that makes me the only person without a secret to hide.
About that, well, you're right. You're a mysterious presence. You have been chosen by Suzumiya Haruki, and I've done quite a lot of background checks on you. It's impolite, I know, but I hope you don't mind, and I assure you, you are a genuine, certified, 100% normal human being. No special powers, nothing.
Is that a compliment? Or should I be disappointed?
I don't really know myself, but the way things are going, I suggest you be very careful so as not to let Suzumiya-san slip into a state of melancholy or to tire of this reality. The fate of this world may rest in your hands.
Since you guys believe Haruki is God, why don't you just abduct him, perform an autopsy on him, and see what his brain's made of? Hell, you might just learn the secrets of the universe.
There are some extremists within the organization who feel that way, but the majority believe it would be best if you were to leave him alone. Who knows what might occur if God were to become displeased by this situation? We hope for this world to remain as it is, so we must hope that Suzumiya-san never becomes displeased with this world.
What are we supposed to do then?
Unfortunately, I don't know.
You talk an awful lot for somebody who doesn't know. And what would happen were Haruki to die?
Would the world simply be destroyed upon its death? Or would God simply cease to exist? Perhaps a new God would replace him. Until it occurs, nobody really knows.
So you have, what, psychic powers or something?
You could say that.
Then show me some of your stupendous powers. Make me believe you. Say, for example, make this coffee warm again. Inuka smiled cheerfully at me, but this time her smile didn't look prepackaged, made of plastic. I think this might be the first real smile I've ever seen from her.
I'm sorry, but that's not possible at the moment. My powers are very limited. In reality, I barely qualify as an esper at all, but I do believe you'll have the chance to see them one day. Sadly, it's time for a conversation to end. Sorry to take up so much of your time.
I watched her stroll away until she disappeared. Then I thought of grabbing a paper cup. I thought so. The coffee's still cold. When I returned to the club room, I stumbled across Asahina Senpai wearing that maid costume that Haruki ordered, even though he hates it. Have you seen Haruki?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. If he doesn't appear, then there was no reason to show up. Sensing someone watching me, I lifted my head to find Nagato Yuki's eyes fixed on me. When he noticed me, he fixed his glasses ever so slightly and turned his eyes back towards his book. That was surprisingly human of him.
Here you go.
Ah, thanks. Wow, he's like a real maid.
Please, enjoy.
Asahina-senpai placed another cup next to Nagato, who didn't even look up, and then sat down and began slowly sip his own cup of tea. Time passed. In the end, Haruki never came to the clubroom at all that day. The next day, I found Leo trying to talk to Ayuki.
Are you all right? Need me to call the nurse?
Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
What's wrong with him?
I don't know. I tried to talk to him to go see the nurse, but no use. Please take care of him, okay?
Hey, where'd you go yesterday? I thought we were supposed to have some sort of debriefing.
I already had the debriefing on my own yesterday. You guys probably missed something, so I went to those places myself.
So, did you find anything?
It's all part of the plan. Part of the plan.
Suzumiya, look, I've more than likely said this before, but have you ever considered just giving up on all this paranormal stuff and trying to live a normal high school life?
A normal high school life? What kind of life is that?
Something like settling down, finding a nice, normal girlfriend, you know? Although, I guess you might stumble across an alien while you're dating. It'd be like killing two birds with one stone. Besides, I'm sure there's plenty of girls lining up for you right now. You just gotta be patient and that special someone will come around eventually.
Hey, I do think about that sort of stuff, okay? I'm a guy after all. But there's no way I'm just gonna ask some stupid girl out and be saddled with a huge burden forever. Besides, if I'm too busy to go out on dates, what's gonna happen to my SOS brigade? I just founded it!
Technically, you haven't founded anything at all. Hey, why not create a club that involves some sort of actual entertainment? That would attract more members for sure.
No. I only founded the SOS Brigade because all the other clubs were too boring. And I've even recruited an interesting experiment like Mitsuru-kun and a mysterious transfer student, too. Why hasn't anything happened yet? Ugh! So frustrating!
Strange things have been set into motion that day. No one else had noticed because these events hadn't built up to their shocking climax just yet. But I have been thinking about them all day, ever since homeroom. You see, while discussing with Haruki, my mind was on something else. It all began with a simple note that was left in my shoe locker this morning. The note said, "After school and everyone else has gone home, come to the 1-5 classroom." The handwriting was angular and archaic looking. It looked as if it had been written by a guy. There was no signature. So, what the hell was this all about? The different opinions in my head decided to hold an emergency meeting to debate among themselves. The first thought said, "This has happened before." But the writing was different from the writing on the bookmark. Nagato, the living humanoid interface for aliens from outer space, has handwriting so perfect it looks like printed text. However, this note, although well written, isn't as flawless. And Nagato probably wouldn't be so direct as to put a note in my shoe locker. The second asked, "Could it be Asahina-senpai?" No, if it was Asahina-senpai, I doubt he'd just tear up a piece of paper and throw it in my locker casually. He seemed like the type of person who'd use an envelope for this kind of thing, you know? And now that I think about it, it's kind of weird that the meeting location happens to be my classroom. "It can't be Haruki!" exclaimed the third. That was even more ridiculous than my first or second thoughts. If Haruki had anything to say to me in private, he'd just throw me over his shoulder and tell me directly. He wasn't the kind of guy to go for subtle. Based on that kind of reasoning, although omitting the carry over the shoulder bit, I eliminated Itsuko from the possible candidates. Finally, my fourth thought, stronger and louder than all the rest, asks the obvious question. Could it just be a love letter from a stranger? Well, I guess it made sense. The writer has specified that I should come after everyone else is gone, and it had been stuffed into my shoe locker, which is where you'd expect to find a confession note. It's a big cliché, but an accurate one, I suppose. Still, in all my years of school, I have never, ever gotten one of these. So why would they start coming now? I don't think I'm any better looking now than I was in junior high. However, a fifth thought called out. It was slightly more cynical than the rest of my other thoughts, and it told me that it's probably a prank. Yeah, Taniguchi and Kunikido probably do that kind of thing. It certainly sounded more realistic than me having suddenly acquired a mysterious admirer. Taniguchi would play a stupid joke like that on me, though I think she probably would have written more. I had been drifting aimlessly through my school day while these thoughts had been swirling around in my head. As I was wondering how I could escape from Haruki long enough to get to this meeting spot, he grumpily announced he was going to go home and punch something. Chance! I decided to go to the club room first because I didn't want to look like some pining lonely girl who was desperate enough to wait in a classroom all day for some random stranger. If Taniguchi suddenly walked in and said, "Oh my god, Kiyon, I'm so sorry. I didn't think you'd take a litter like that so seriously," while secretly trying to hide her laughter, I'd be really pissed. No, it'd be better if I killed some time first than go to peek into the classroom to see if anyone's there. Yeah, that's the perfect strategy. And thus, I arrived at the club room entrance.
Please come in.
Regardless of how wrong it is, he still looks cute in that maid costume.
Where's Suzumiya-san?
He went home. Actually, he seemed pretty tired. If you want to get some revenge, I'd do it now.
I wouldn't do anything like that.
I was only joking, Asahina-senpai. Itsuko still hasn't arrived?
Koizumi-san came earlier, but she said she's got her part-time job today.
What kind of part-time job, exactly? Well, at least now I can confidently cross out Itsuko and Haruki from my list of suspects. Since I had nothing better to do but wait, I played a few games about that with Asahina-senpai while chatting a bit. After 3 games, I stopped playing and went to surf the internet for a little bit. And eventually, Nagato stopped reading and simply closed his book. Recently, we take this action of his as a sign to call it a day for our club activities. Though, what those club activities actually are is still unclear, and we all began to pack our stuff away. I left the room and proceeded to my classroom. The clock had said 5:30 when I glanced at it, so there shouldn't be anybody left. Even if it were a prank by Taniguchi, she'd probably have gone home by now out of boredom. Despite that, I ran up 2 flights of stairs to the top floor, just to be safe. I mean, what if it really was a confession? I breathed in deeply in the silent corridor. The classroom doors all have slightly tinted windows, so I couldn't see anything clearly inside. Only that the sunset had been painted in the room a wonderful orange-red, though that probably indicated some level of pollution around the town. It wasn't surprising to find someone waiting for me inside the classroom. The note had kind of made that obvious. But it was a shock to find out exactly who it was. Standing in front of the blackboard was someone I would never have suspected.
You're late.
He flicked his beautiful silken hair and began to stroll leisurely towards me, between the seats and the tables. His handsome face still wore that same serene smile that Asakura was so famous for. Is this really a confession after all? And from Asakura, of all people.
So, it's you.
Yes. Surprised.
You wanted to talk to me?
Darn it, I sound like Asahina-senpai.
Indeed. I was looking for you. I have something to ask you. Have you ever heard of the saying, 'Tis better to have lost and loved than to have never loved at all? And do you think that loving, in this context, may refer to taking action as well?
Wait! What the hell is he talking about?
I'm not really sure who said that, but I guess the meaning makes sense?
If there existed a situation where staying within the status quo would simply make things worse, and you had no idea how to improve it, what would you do?
Improve what?
Is there a confession coming, or...
Wouldn't you say that it would be better to do anything, anything at all, and face the consequences? Because to do nothing would simply let the situation degrade.
I guess so?
God damn it! Did I get my hopes up for nothing?
That's what I meant.
Asakura, who had his hands behind his back this entire time, smiled widely and leaned forward slightly.
But those above are incapable of thinking laterally. They're out of touch with the rapid changes on this plane of reality. So I am compelled to do something, to make something happen, so that this situation does not degrade any further. That is why I have decided to act without authorization and force a change upon this situation.
Sorry? What on earth are you talking about, Asakura? Is this some kind of prank after all? I glanced around the room, wondering if Taniguchi had set me up like this was now hiding in the cabinet behind me, or sitting under the teacher's desk, barely suppressing her laughter. I wouldn't put this kind of thing past her.
I've grown tired of having to observe a changeless environment. That is why.
I was so busy looking around that I wasn't really paying attention to what Asakura was saying.
I have to kill you and observe the reaction of Suzumiya Haruki.
Some instinct made me throw myself backwards as Asakura moved his hands from behind his back, and a silver metallic flash went straight through where my neck used to be. Through a sudden fog of adrenaline and fear, I watched half of the ribbon on the front of my uniform float slowly towards me as I heard the crash of the teacher's desk collapsing a few feet away. Smiling oh so pleasantly, Asakura's right hand now held a katana nearly half of my height. I was very, very lucky to dodge the first strike. If I hadn't, I would have probably ended up like that desk. But instead, there I was on the ground, on my backside, looking palely up at Asakura. "Don't let him back me into a corner!" was a thought that flashed through my mind as I scuttled desperately backwards. Why didn't Asakura chase me? No, wait! What the hell's going on here? Why is somebody as nice and pure as Asakura trying to gut me with a sword? Why the hell does he even have a sword? Wait, what did he just say? He wants to kill me. Kill? But why? Why me?
Stop joking around! That's really dangerous! Even if it were fake, I'd still be really, really scared. Please put that thing away!
You think I'm joking? You don't like dying? You don't want to die? This hesitation of biological life forms to submit to the inevitable has always been a mystery to me.
I finally managed to get to my feet, telling myself this has to be a joke. This is a really bad joke, damn it! This was way too surreal! Asakura is a serious, responsible class president who only talks when necessary in class and faces every single problem calmly, without panicking! He's every girl's dream! Why would he wave around a katana and declare that he wants to kill me all of a sudden? But that thing is real, and I was going to be in two pieces if I wasn't careful.
I don't understand what you're saying. This isn't funny anymore, okay? Please put that scary thing away.
I can't do that, because I really do want you to die.
He lifted the katana above his head and brought it crashing down the blink of an eye. Gods, he's fast! But I had just managed to anticipate his movement and threw myself sideways just in time. I heard the desk behind me shatter as I ducked under his arm and ran for the door. I rushed forward, the door getting closer with every step, and ran straight into a wall. What? Where the heck did the door go? Even the windows were gone. A second ago, the windows and the doors of the corridor and escape were there, but now it was just a thick gray wall. No way!
Do not attempt to escape. I have gained control over this subspace. All exits have been blocked. Quite simple, really. All I needed to do was tamper with the molecular structure of the materials at hand. In any case, this room has been sealed. There are no ways in or out.
I turned around, prepared to dive through a window if necessary, only to find that the sunset, or more to the point, the other windows, had disappeared as well. All that was left were giant concrete walls and the cold white light of the lamp shining down into whatever desks remained. This can't be! This isn't possible! What the hell is going on?
As your class president, I advise you to cease resistance. You're going to die anyway.
What the hell are you?
No matter where I looked, there was nothing but faceless concrete and featureless walls. There wasn't a single door, a single window, nothing! Was there something wrong with my brain? I frantically dashed between the desks, trying to get as far from Asakura as possible. But he just moved slowly towards me in a straight line, smiling a gentle smile on the sliced desks and turned aside like a huge kidney. Unlike him, my path was always blocked. This game of cat and mouse did not last very long. Pretty soon, I was cornered. If this was how it's going to end, I decided to hell with it! I hurled a chair at Asakura with all my might, but it slowed and stopped in the air before it got anywhere near him, and then flew up to the other side of the room, landing in a cloud of dust. This is impossible! Completely impossible!
Impressive strength for a life form of your characteristics. But resistance is futile. Everything in this room moves according to my will.
Wait! Wait!
Nothing you do has any meaning. It is useless.
What is going on here? If this isn't a joke or a prank, and neither Asakura nor me were crazy, then what's going on? Wait. He said that he wanted to kill me to see what sort of reaction Suzumiya Haruki will have. Darn it! Haruki, it's always bloody Haruki! You're getting way too damn popular, Haruki!
What did I just say? I should have done this from the beginning, I suppose.
I couldn't move my body! Hey, no fair! That's cheating, you bastard!
Once you die, Suzumiya Haruki is bound to have some sort of reaction. This may result in a massive data explosion, from which we may salvage something. This might be the one in a million chance for us.
I felt the hairband holding my ponytail up suddenly split in two as it fell to the floor, cloven cleanly in twain. Asakura was still leveling the katana at me, smiling.
I suppose in the end I couldn't resist. I have always wondered what you would look like with your hair down. And I have to say, you do look much nicer. More wild.
Great. The only guy to ever hit on me also happens to be a magical sword-wielding psycho. Just my luck.
I suppose I have wasted enough time, though. Farewell, Kyon-chan. It was quite nice to meet you. Now
the
die.
Raising massive clouds of dust and obscuring my vision. Some of the smaller pieces rained down upon my unlucky head, and I ducked beneath my raised arms to ward off rubble. Damn it! Wait, I used my arms? I can move? I lifted my head to discover...
Nagato?
Your programs were too basic. The data lockdown around the ceiling was incomplete. That is why I was able to discover it and enter.
You wish to interfere? Once I slaughter this girl, Suzumiya Haruki is bound to have some sort of reaction. Only then can we obtain more information.
You are supposed to be my backup. This sort of insubordination is forbidden. You must obey my commands.
Oh? And what if I refuse?
Then I will disconnect your data interface.
And would you like to try, Nagato-san? I have the advantage here. This classroom is under my data jurisdiction.
Processing application for data interface disconnection.
The second Asakura heard that phrase, he wrenched his katana out of Nagato's grasp and leapt backwards around 5 meters away. Confronted with this kind of scene, I couldn't help but realize it. These two really aren't human!
Very well. Let's see how you handle this.
The liquid metal lilies formed into the shapes of spears and suddenly hurled themselves at us from every direction with lightning fast speed. But Nagato blurred before my eyes and suddenly the spears were all embedding themselves on my feet or around the room. Did he just block them all? As the dust cleared, Asakura charged forwards, katana at the ready. Panicking, I tried to turn and run, but Nagato leaned backwards and grabbed my arm.
Do not move away.
This area of space belongs to me. There's no way for you to prevail.
Select serial code from database where code equals data. Order my aggressive combat data having terminate mode.
Target name, Asakura Ryo. Hostility confirmed. Disconnecting target's organic information interface.
You will cease functionality before I do. We'll see how long you can last protecting that pathetic thing. Take this.
Normal physics must no longer apply in this classroom. Where is he? I can't locate where his voice is coming from, this blinding whirlwind of light and color! Nagato stood above me, impaled straight in the chest by Asakura's katana. Oh no! Nagato!
I told you not to move. I'm fine.
How exactly does being impaled make you fine?!
I can't see you defending that human very well in your damaged state, but it would be unwise to leave you still functional. Goodbye, Nagato-san. Now die.
It's over.
What's over? You mean the 3 years of your short life?
No. Commencing data interface disconnection.
Almost instantly, everything in the classroom began to glow brightly, and then crystallize and dissolved, turning into sand.
The how? How can the... no, I see. Well, well, you really are amazing, you know that?
It took some time to penetrate the program, but everything will end now.
You had already planted destructive factors around the room long before you entered, correct? No wonder you seem to be operating reduced capabilities. You had already used much of your runtime beforehand. Such a pity. I suppose I'm just the backup after all. And I thought this would finally be a chance to break free of this stagnation. Well, I lost. I guess you get to live after all. You'd better be careful, though. I'm not the only one with a dissenting opinion. Just like with humans, eh? The good and the bad. And who knows? even those who control Nagato-san might change their thinking and decide to kill you instead. Well, even so, I wish you and Suzumi-san the best of luck.
Suddenly, there was a shadow over my head as Nagato Yuki collapsed. I tried my best to catch him, but he was too heavy, so he ended up on top of me on the floor.
Nagato! Hang in there! I'll call the ambulance or something!
No need. Physical damage means nothing. Currently, the priority is to restore this area of space back to its original state, removing impure substances, reconstructing classroom.
Amazing! The only way I could possibly describe it was... magical. Nagato, my savior, was still collapsed on top of me. I thought he'd be bleeding all over me with his open wounds and damage to his uniform, but they vanished along with the blood on me.
Thanks. Are you really okay?
As processing power has been converted into data operation, the linking interface has been temporarily reversed.
You want some help up?
Not that I'm in any position to give any, but...
No need. My glasses. I forgot to regenerate them.
Actually, I think you look cooler without them. Glasses guys aren't really my type.
What does that mean?
Nothing.
I see.
No, it's not the time to be saying stupid stuff like that! If I could have gotten out from underneath Nagato, I would probably have run out of the classroom in utter embarrassment.
Excuse me! I forgot my bag.
With Nagato on top of me and my hair still down, it's pretty easy to see what conclusions you'd immediately come to.
I'm sorry. Sorry for coming in.
No, Taniguchi, it's not with you.
Such an interesting person.
What should we do now?
Leave it to me. Data manipulation is my specialty. I'll let everyone think that Asakura Ryo has been transferred out.
That wasn't what I was talking about, but... data manipulation? Is that how he does it? I have just experienced an incredible event. This is no longer an issue of whether I believe in all the stuff Nagato told me the other day. What just happened made me realize how serious this really is? I thought I was going to die! If Nagato hadn't shown up to save me, I would have been killed by Asakura. And the experiences of the classroom distorting Asakura's deadly spikes, and Nagato eliminating him without a single sign of emotion have all been etched permanently into my memory. By the way, thank you, Nagato-san. In a way, though, doesn't this make me a participant in a mysterious event? Like I said earlier, I had always wanted to be a bystander that would just get drawn into events, a sidekick or something. But it's looking more and more like I'm the main character! I had always wished to be a character in some sort of story involving aliens, but now that I actually was one, well, it really put things into perspective. This really isn't what I was hoping for. What I really want is to be some sort of side character that cheerfully provides helpful advice whenever other people are facing their difficulties. I didn't want my own classmates to go crazy and target me. I have a lot of respect for my own life, thank you very much. My mind wandered aimlessly as I lay back on the floor of the orange-red classroom. I had forgotten about Nagato, who was still above me, staring down with his usual expressionless face. Hey, wait a minute! If you're done regenerating, get off of me! The following day, Asakura Ryo disappeared from Class 1-5, and I was the only one who had seen it coming. When Okabe Sensei announced his cover story, most of the girls exclaimed in shock and horror, "What? Why?" While the guys started muttering amongst themselves about this. Even Okabe Sensei looked confused. And, of course, the person sitting behind me couldn't keep his mouth shut.
I guess it has something to do with Asakura-kun's mother's work. That's why he had to transfer out all of a sudden. Frankly, all the teachers were shocked as well when they heard the news this morning. They'd already flown out yesterday because he had to leave the country so fast.
Kyon, this has to be a mysterious event!
What should I do? Should I tell him the truth? Actually, Haruki, Asakura-kun was created by an alien life form known as the Integrated Data Sentient Entity. Nagato-kun was his superior, but for some reason their relationship broke down, and in the end, Asakura ended up trying to kill me. As to why it involves me, it's all your fault. However, Asakura-kun got turned into a pile of sand by Nagato-kun and disappeared, so it's all better now. Hell no. I'd be carted off to the funny farm if I said anything like that. So I'll just pretend that everything that happened yesterday was just a horrible, horrible nightmare and leave it at that.
First, my mysterious transfer student shows up, then the class president transfers out mysteriously. There's gotta be something going on here, I know it!
Maybe his mom got a transfer?
Like I'm gonna believe that!
Believe it or not, that's the number one reason for having to transfer schools.
Don't you think that's strange? It was only one day between them receiving the job transfer notification and then moving out. Just what kind of work is his mom doing anyway?
Maybe his parents simply didn't tell him beforehand.
Impossible! This requires further investigation. Oh, by the way, what's with your hair?
Don't ask.
日曜、僕ら日々を楽しんで生きていこう。もう一丁、明日からまた日月か。ほら水木回って金土。日曜、夢の日々を大事に生きましょう。もう一丁、明日からまた日月か。ほら水木回って金土。日曜、僕ら日々を楽しんで生きていこう。